Ephesians chapter 5. And our text for this morning is the verse 25. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The Apostle Paul here says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God's precious people. The Lord uses the word precious when speaking about his people. Lamentations 4 and verse 2. There we read that the Lord speaks about the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold. So if you are a child of God this morning, now you know that you are God's precious possession. Just as the Lord said of Israel, and the church is the Israel of God. But in Exodus 19, verse 5, we read, "Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So speaking about his people, the Lord has declared, "Ye shall be a peculiar people unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." And again, the Lord has said, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God." That's what we are, children of the Lord our God. "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Deuteronomy 14, verses 1 and 2. Now, in those two verses, in Exodus 19, 5, and Deuteronomy 14, verses 1 and 2, the Lord uses the word peculiar. The word peculiar is a word which means special. And it is found that way in Deuteronomy chapter 7. For in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, the Lord says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people." It's the same word as peculiar. "The Lord has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." That's how the Lord describes his children. That's how the Lord describes us, those who are indeed the sons and the daughters of God. And again, in another place, Isaiah 43 and verse 4, speaking about the people of God, the Lord says, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee." What a wonder of mercy and grace this is, that God should regard such fallen creatures as being precious in his sight. Yes, we can understand the words of Peter, When Peter said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Because that's what he is. To us, Christ is precious. But here we are being taught and we are being told that we are precious in God's sight. And that indeed is a great mystery, and that is a great wonder, that God would look upon us and regard us as being special. Regard us as being precious. How did this all come about? I believe our text this morning supplies us with the answer. Because in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, we read, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved us, and he gave himself for us. Does that not make us, in the Savior's eyes, precious and special? That he would love us, and that he would die for us. That's where we begin. We notice here in our text, Christ died for his church. Here Paul speaks about that relationship between husband and wife. And he says that it is like that same relationship between Christ and his church. As he says in verse 32, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And we see that the Lord Jesus, what he was prepared to do for the church, or what he was prepared to do for his wife, the church. And what he did for his church is all wrapped up in his passion for his church. His passion. All who are members of his church, and we're not talking about a denomination, we're talking about the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We are talking about his bride, the one whom he gave his life for. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Since we are loved by Christ, that in itself is an indication of how precious we are in his sight. Let us consider that love then, that passion. We notice from the words of Paul it was a chosen love. Yes, the Lord has a love for all. We know that. But he has a special love for his church. Just as the man will choose a wife for himself, so the Lord has chosen us to be his wife. We read there in Deuteronomy 14, verses 1 and 2, ye are the children of the Lord your God, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people. Remember, peculiar means special. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. and we are special to the Lord, just like a man's wife is special to him. A husband has a love for his wife which is special. A love which he has for his wife that he has not for anybody else. And the Lord has a love for his church that he does not have for anybody else. Just as Paul states here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, in fact, whenever you look at the words of Paul there, there is actually a word missing that's in the original that our translators have left out. Because this is how the original reads. Husbands, love your own wives. The word own, O-W-N, is in the original and it's not here. As though to emphasize even more that Christ's love is for his own wife, the church. He has a love for us that is not like his love for anyone else. His love for us is special. In John 13, remembering again what the words of Paul are in the original, husbands, love your own wives, even as Christ also loved the church. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father. Listen. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved his own. This is the same wording that Paul uses. Husbands, love your own wives. So Christ, he says, has loved his own, and we are his own. Those whom he has chosen to be his wife. That makes us special. And the fact that Christ has chosen us to be his bride and that he loves us, that makes us special and precious to him. For he said, I have chosen you out of the world. Indeed, the word church. He loved his church. The word church means called out ones. He called us out of the world. He chose us out of the world and called us unto himself. A husband of all the women in the world, a husband has chosen one woman to be his wife. And of all the sons of Adam, the Lord was pleased to choose us to be his wife. Husbands, love your own wives. Christ loves his own wife. He loves his church. It's a chosen love. It's also a confessed love. Paul here says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. A man's wife likes to be told that her husband loves her. Well, Christ, our husband, as it were, has told us that he loves us. Malachi 1 verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord. And again the Savior said in John 13 verse 34, love one another as I have loved you. Again, John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And there's the Lord confessing his love for his church, confessing his love for his bride. And the Lord is telling us, I have loved you. And he has loved us longer than we have loved him, because he has loved us from before the foundation of the world. That's when he set his love upon us. So when we are told that we are loved, that means that we're special in the eyes of the person who loves us. And the Lord has told us he loves us. He loves us. Love one another as I have loved you. Something else about this, the passion of Christ, we see the character of his love. Paul, when speaking about the love of the Lord, had for him in Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. That's how Paul described the love of God for him. He says that it is great love. Now, when you look at the word great and see how that word in the original is translated elsewhere, it gives us a better idea of the greatness of God's love, because the same word is translated abundant. It is translated far passing. It is translated plenteous. It is translated many. This is the word that Paul chose when describing the love of God for him. So Christ loves us with a love that is abundant, unsurpassed, plenteous, and we are loved with many loves from him. He loves us in so many ways. This is the love that God has for his people. What does that make us? Makes us special, does it not? That's the character of our dear Savior's love for us. And that surely teaches us that we are precious in his sight because he loves us with a great love, an abundant love, a love that surpasses all other true love. But then we must make this remark. It is also condescending love. That is, when the Lord looked upon us, he did not see anything attractive about us. Nothing. Over in Genesis 29, and we'll be referring to this in a moment or two again, But in Genesis 29, we read in verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob loved Rachel. What was it that attracted Rachel to the eye of Jacob? We're told she was beautiful and well-favored, and he fell in love with her. But when our dear Savior looked upon us, we were not beautiful or well-favored at all. We had a depraved nature. Nothing attractive about our appearance, nothing attractive about our attitude, nothing attractive about our actions, but the Lord loved us anyway. You want to know exactly what the Lord saw when he looked upon us? When he fell in love with us, what did he see? We know what Jacob saw in Rachel, but what did God see in us? Isaiah 1 and verse 5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. This is what the Lord saw when he looked upon us in our sin. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We talked about the mystery of God's love. Is it not a mystery that God should love us as described here in Isaiah 1? And again, in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, but we are all of us, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. How are we described in that verse? As unclean, as filthy, as being iniquitous. That's what we were when the Lord loved us and claimed us for his wife. Hard to take in, isn't it? Such was the passion Christ has for his church, that he chose us in that state that we were in and made us his own. Does that not make us special? And we can see we're not special because of anything in us. We're special because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We notice not only his passion, but his purpose and his church. I believe it is safe to say that a person would do anything for the one that they love. Let's go back again to Genesis 29. and once again to consider Jacob and Rachel. Genesis 29 and verse 17. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. That's what Jacob said to Laban. He wanted to have Rachel for his wife. And he was prepared to serve Laban 7 years for the hand of Rachel. And we read, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Jacob was willing to do anything for Rachel because he loved her. 7 years, yes, he would serve 7 years. Now we look at our text. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what Christ did for us because he loved us. We have seen what Jacob did for Rachel, because he loved her. And here Paul tells us what Christ did for us because he loved us. Rachel was precious in the eyes of Jacob, and he was willing to serve 7 years. But what Jacob did for Rachel was limited. But what Christ did for us, there was no limit to what Christ did for us. Jacob gave 7 years of his life for Rachel, that he might make her his wife. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't give 7 years for us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave his life for us. Galatians 2, verse 22. The Apostle Paul makes it a little more personal. For there he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When speaking about the love of Christ, Paul could not help but apply that to himself and how the Son of God loved me. Personally, he loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God. It's hard to take in, isn't it? The Son of God, who is also God the Son. The Son of God loved me, Paul says. And the Son of God gave himself for me. Yes, as we have said, Jacob gave 7 years of his life for Rachel, but the Lord Jesus gave his life for us. And when Christ gave his life, there was nothing more to give. Because when he gave his life, he gave us all. There was nothing more for him to give. That's why he came into the world. That was his purpose, that he might give himself for his bride, that he might give himself for his church. The word give is a word that means to give up. To give up, so he gave up everything for his church. A husband may say to his wife, I will give up anything. I will do anything for you to show my love for you. Well, here's the Lord. The Lord gave up everything. There's nothing more to give. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Listen. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He gave up everything. And when we read in that verse in John 19:30, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, his giving up of the ghost was his giving up of his life, was his giving up of everything for his bride. For the bride that he chose for himself. A husband will give his wife a gift as a token of his love. But what can we say about one who gave up his life for his wife? There's the love of Christ. Is it not a wonder? His love causes us surely to wonder and be filled with wonder that he gave his life for us. There's the wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder as sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all, just to think that God Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. There you have the passion of Christ and the purpose of Christ. We have then the privilege of the church. The passion of Christ for his church, the purpose of Christ for the church, and then the privilege of the church. The apostle makes it clear who Christ loved. Because Paul says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Mark the words. It's important. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. He loved the church and he gave himself for the church. Now there are those who believe and teach that Christ died for the whole world. Christ did not die for the whole world. It's one of those things, well, it's a nice thought. Because, listen, if Christ died for the whole world, then the whole world must be saved. The whole world must make up the church of Christ. But Paul clearly states here, husbands, love your own wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church. A husband. This is what Paul's teaching. A husband will do things for his wife that he will not do for anybody else. A husband will have a love for his wife, a love that he will not have for anybody else. Yes, there is a parental love. We love our children. There's the love of grandparents towards their grandchildren, yes. But when it comes to a man loving his wife, the love that he gives to his wife, he will not give to another woman. He will not give to anybody else. And here it is stated that Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church, for the one that he loves. He gave his life for the one whom he loves. The Savior makes it clear that he is the head of the church. The church is his body. And the body is made up of believers. We see that from verse 30. And we are members of his body. Now you can't say the whole world is a member of Christ's body. You can't say that. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. He says we are. Talking about believers. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And it was for us the Savior died. How do you think about that? I'll tell you how. I count that a great honor. And I count it a great privilege. And I count it something that's very humbling. Based on what we have already learned, based upon what we were before the Lord made us his bride, it is very humbling to know that Christ died for me personally. And dear believer, for you personally, he loved the church and gave himself for it. Privileged to be married to the King of Glory. To know that he loved me and gave himself for me. No, we did not merit it. No, we did not deserve it. We cannot explain it. But praise God, we accept it. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people, not the whole world, his people. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. that brought my Saviour from above. The love of God to me that brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. We have more to say about this. Next time we look at these words, we will consider Christ's desire for his church. But what we have learned already from God's word, let us rejoice in Christ and his love for us and his giving up of himself for us. That's good preparation for the Lord's table, is it not? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.